kinds of preparation did you have to make before you started working at Douglas? I mean, did you have to bring in tools and those kinds of things?
You had to buy tools. They had tool cribs that you could check out, all kinds of tools, but you had to have your own toolbox. And there were a lot of things that they didn't have that you had to buy. And it would cost you, I guess, for your basic tools that you bought, anyways, up to $50 or more. But they were generous. They just took a part of it out of your check each week. But you had to have all kinds of tin snips and special pliers, things like that that they didn't stock in the toolkit.
Is that
true
at Yellow Run as well?
No, I only run that finished everything. I had no tools there. Well, the run was run by Ford, and Ford was much easier to buy tool-wise and things like that. That was a much easier place for his than Douglas.
I was
going to
ask you to kind of talk about the differences.
Well, that's hard to do. The only thing I remember very much about Willow Run was it was all in one building. And you went over a viaduct to get into the plant. And this was just we were having riots back in Detroit. The government was building houses for people. One of the first housing projects that the government had gone into. And there was riots down there, and Ford was notorious for hiring the biggest, roughest-looking men for guards that you ever saw. It was more or less a standing joke back there that they were all Polish. You know, big, brownie. You didn't do much arguing with them when you saw them. And we were, there were several days that we were afraid. Not afraid, but we were frightened when we drove to Willow Run because we didn't know what kind of problems we were going to run into getting there. With these riots going on, it was the first time I was ever conscious much of racial overtones. And these houses had been built for Negroes. And it was the white people that were rioting. They weren't going to let the Negroes have them. But the white people needed the houses. But I never actually got caught up in any of it, any of the riots at all. But the plant itself was so enormous, and the whole bomber, I want to call it a B-54, I'm not sure that's the right name for it or not, but the whole thing was built under this one roof. And you could really get lost in there. Well, I came out and went to work at Douglas and it was in all these other smaller buildings. You had to go from one building to another, find your way around. It was quite a change.
past before you look at the event?
No. Never. I always wore dresses, and I'd had one time when I was just growing up a pair of knickers. But we didn't wear them, we didn't live in them. And I wasn't comfortable in pants for years. And I swore when the war was over, if I ever got out of them, I'd never wear them again. Now I live in them. But I didn't like the capris and the short, fitted, tight-fitting pants. I still don't. And that was the only thing that I really changed that I had to make was that we had to wear nets on our hair or bandanas around our head, keep our hair all tied up. And as much as we fought that for our own advantage, I saw several people that had gotten their hair caught in the truck and I noticed, you know, fall spots like this would just tear the hair right out. So I never complained too much about tying up my hair. Except that I never liked to wear a hat. I never have. Never do wear a hat.
What did
you think of Pepperman does it when you walk in the door?
The first day.
Scared to death. I always am when I go on a new project of any kind. Butterflies. I'm not a person that outgoing. And it was hard for me to make friends. And when you go into a place like that, everybody fails with looks. I look at you as if you were something from outer space or something, oddball. Wondering whose job she's going to take. And you're not there to take anybody's job.
What was
the
attitude of the other women
in the family? They were friendly enough, right? They found out they weren't losing their jobs by their they took me under their wing. The older ones did, the younger ones they were too involved with their boyfriends. The parties that they had on weekends and things like that. But there was a split in a group, more or less, because some of them were the party type, and they were always inviting the bosses out, which the older ones didn't appreciate. Stop by the apartment for a drink after work or something like that. And of course, the rest of us had to drive 25, 30 miles, so you didn't do that. You went home. And it seems like at that time we used to have much more heavy, heavy fog than we are having now. And there was always the weather to contend with, especially in the wintertime, heavy rains and all that. And if you were driving 25 miles, you wanted to get in and get out of the fog and the rain and what have you. And of course, at that time we had ration stamps for our gasoline and our tires and butter, sugar. And there was always a couple of days a week there'd be a truck parked outside the plant selling cigarettes. You couldn't buy cigarettes from the store at all. You went especially whatever brands you could get. That was that's what you smoked that day. I was lucky. I had a couple of friends in the service used to bring me cigarettes all the time. Neither of them smoked them, and they were coming into town where they all always bring their cotton cigarettes. So I usually had cigarettes. And I had one friend that was in the Air Force. He kept me supplied with silk stockings. He could buy them in South America. He was in the air transport. I would come in to Long Beach and pick up a plane and fly up South America and all over the country. And always on his way back, he'd stop in Rio or someplace up there and kept me well prepared. Alligator cheese. Alligator poop. I had many things, many little mementos from all over the world that he brought back. Silver compacts from India. Velvet evening bag that was made in India and embroidered with real silver. On the outside, it was gorgeous.
How did you know him?
Well, he was a friend from back east. In fact, he had a twin brother. Twin brother was stationed up at San Luis Obispo. And it was funny, they were twins. And this one that, when he was drafted, he went into the Air Force. He wanted to fly so badly, and he washed out as a pilot, but he made navigator. And the other one, he didn't like the service one way or the other. The one in the Air Force came home a captain, and the other came home TFC, just like he said here. He got up as high as sergeant two or three times, and he'd get broken back. But he never left the States. He was put in, an MP, and he never got out of the States at all. They helped me keep my sanity. They would come in and pick me. I'd see one or the other of them every couple of, three or four weeks. One of them would be coming in. It's very depressing. You got really bogged down just going to work and coming home and going to work again the next day. Just no break in it. And when they would come in, it would always be a fun night. You could always take a half and a get off work at lunchtime and go have dinner, a drink or two, and dance a while. And the one that was in the airport, I never knew when he was coming, and he just called me, and he'd get into Long Beach. And the other one was up at San Luis Obispo. He would come down on weekends once in a while. So there was a couple of years that if it hadn't been for them, I might have gone bananas for sure.
Did you date much other than that?
No. There wasn't anybody around to date. And then, too, that was at the time they were having the problem with the the panels up in around Stalin Park and that area was the ones with the pig pants and I forget what they call them. My father would not allow me to go out on weekends because of them. They were vicious.
Are you talking about that?
Well, I can't remember what to call them. They'd come knock at the door for no reason at all and just beat people. And they had their gangs, similar to what they have now, but they didn't have it. I don't remember them driving cars like they do now. But you just didn't go out, and of course everything along the coast here was blocked out at night. So you didn't go out at night at all, alone, ever. And even though I was in my 30s, when I was living at my father's house, and he said, you don't go out, you don't go out. Period.
Now, was there much activity with the D Street right in the area where you lived?
There was some. There was more downtown L.A. And I went downtown L.A. very seldom. But there was still the fear that you never knew what was going to be out there.
How was that known?
Like through the newspapers? Yeah. Oh, it traveled by word of mouth. My mother and dad had lived in this area in Baldwin Park for several years, and in the near vicinity, there'd been several people beaten by them. No reason for given for it or anything like that. And then, of course, the papers picked up their activities downtown. And I had no real reason to go downtown anyhow. But I didn't even go to the movies on the weekends because the theaters are full of, in Baldwin Park and El Monte. It is quite a, well, it was then, I guess it still is, I don't know, Mexican settlement. And some of those boys were just plain mean and nasty.
Would there be many black sort of women that you worked with?
No, not at that time. They came in more or less after the war. There were a couple of colored black women coming in over on the 826 that was there. But they were accepted they weren't discriminated against at that time. If they wanted to work, there was work to be done. I don't remember any Hispanic women in my area that where I worked at all. In fact, I don't think Hispanic women went into that type of work. They weren't. I don't suppose I can generalize like that, but they didn't appear to be mechanically inclined, and you had to have some mechanical ability. You had to know your tools, you had to learn how to use them. And I had the best teacher in the world. My dad used to let me use it. I could use his tools as long as I put them back and put it along. And then he would, even as a kid growing up, I was the only one, my brothers wasn't notorious for picking up after themselves, but as long as I put the things back, Dad never said anything. I could use all the tools I wanted. And I always enjoyed using tools. I got a cover drawer out here that's got my hammers and screwdrivers and files in them.
What kinds of things would you do with them when you were young?
Oh, I didn't really build anything, but I used to like to help Dad when he was building. And then when we built our house back east, my first husband and I helped nail all the wall board on. I had broken my right arm at that time in the elbow, and it was stiff and bent like this. So the doctor said, well, you have to exercise it to work it out. And I was nailing up wall board. I nailed up many bundles of it. And I said, we had an outside pump. You didn't have water in your houses. Well, you did when you got the money for the pipes and stuff, but we had to drill down 200 feet for a well. So I carried the water in, and I would start out with a couple of inches of water in the pail. And before long, I was carrying a full pail full. And that's when I first learned to bowl, too. The doctor said bowling would be the best thing in the world to straighten out an elbow. And this little town we lived in had a bowling alley. It had about 10 alleys in it, or 10 lanes. And we used to go bowling. And now you can't tell it was ever broken.
Did you continue to bowl?
I did until about 10 years ago, after I had my second leg surgery, I kind of had to give it up.
Did you bowl with people from work?
No. We had local leagues, and I didn't bowl during the war at all. We didn't have time for that. But after the war, we bowled in local leagues with these. We used to go bowling for fun. The kids and I used to have a lot of fun bowling. That was one of the few pastimes that we could do together. And I had to give it up when I got this arthritis in my hand. I've got a perfectly good ball and a new bag and new shoes in here that I've never used.
You lived with your folks for about a year and then you bought a house. I'm wondering how your life was different after you moved away from your parents.
Oh, again, everybody shared the housework. I had two boys and two girls, and one boy and one girl helped with the cooking, and the other two helped with the dishes, and then on weekends we all pitched in and cleaned the house, did the laundry and the ironing. After we moved by ourselves, our weekends were really, really packed. And we had laundry for five people, and it all had to be ironed. You had no perm press. Everything had to be ironed. It was rough. The kids still complain about how hard we worked on weekends. And you didn't have a lot of money. It was a good thing things were cheap. It all balanced out at the time. Movies were cheap and everything else. By the time the war ended, I was making just $40 a week, and that doesn't go a long way for you. Buying a house, you're feeding four kids that are getting up close. Teenagers, I picked a lot of verses. And then they had trying to keep them all in school at the same time was something else again.
What do you mean?
Well, you had discipline problems. You didn't have the drugs and stuff like that you do today. But there was still liquor available that the boys could get at if they wanted it. Even though the law was against it, somebody would always buy a bottle for the kids. There was marijuana found at the